Dana Miller. Are you here, Dana, so we can welcome you? Yay! All things come to the one who waits. Okay, then I'll turn it over to
Michael.
God be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, who crafts the mountains and valleys, who plants the wilderness, who paints the sky with sun and moon and stars, we give you thanks. As we are embraced by the gifts of your creation, cause us also to remember that you are ever faithful, and in Christ your presence is always surrounding us. Through your Spirit, breathe into us your new life of forgiveness, renewal, and resurrection. Hold in safety all who are in the village during this work camp. Keep our eyes and ears and hearts open to your promise that you are with us always. Amen.
I invite you to stand and we'll sing the theme song all the way through.
Theme song.
Yes.
Okay, I thought it was later.
That was the original plan. Ready?
Eleven climbed the Galilean mountain, where Jesus preached of love and taught the way. The risen Jesus came and there they worshipped. Though some could not but doubt, they still heard Jesus say, go, go, go make disciples, baptize them in the triune God, teach them as I have taught you, and remember I am with you, and remember I am with you, and remember I am with you always. Now we have come again up to the mountain to hear the call to love and justice new. Though the doubt the risen one still meets us, sends us down the mountain and goes out with us too. Go, go, go make disciples, baptize them in the triune God, teach them as I have taught you, and remember I am with you, and remember I am with you, and remember I am with you always. More than we have faith in God, God is forever faithful, loving and surrounding us, preparing us for all the works that God in grace set for us to do. Remember then that always I am with you. Remember then that always I am with you. Go, go, go make disciples, baptize them in the triune God, teach them as I have taught you, and remember I am with you, and remember I am with you, and remember I am with you always. I am with you always. I am with you always. I am with you always.
A reading from the sixth chapter of Mark. And immediately Jesus forced his disciples to embark into the boat and to go ahead to the other side towards Bethsaida until he dismisses the crowd. And after taking leave of them, he went up into the mountain to pray. As it was becoming evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone upon the land. And seeing them buffeted about, straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, about 3 o'clock in the morning he came towards them, walking upon the sea. And he intended to pass them by. But they, seeing him walking upon the sea, were of the opinion that it was a ghost, and they all shouted out, for they saw him and were terrified. But he immediately talked with them and said, "Take heart, I am. Stop being afraid." And he climbed down into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. This left them in utter silent astonishment, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Holy wisdom, holy word. It was a dark and stormy night. This is not only the way Snoopy begins his never more than opening sentence novel in the comic strip Peanuts. It is the way Mark concludes the episode of the feeding of the 5,000. And it seems to be the locale where existentially we find ourselves so often in our lives. It is hard to tell exactly what happened to the disciples that dark, wind-blown night. Mark's account is one of three different versions. Luke skips the story altogether, while John offers the Reader's Digest condensed version. The sea was rough, the disciples were scared, Jesus spoke, and before they could haul him aboard, the boat immediately arrived at the far shore. No ghost, no ceasing of the wind, no astonishment. I suppose Matthew's account is best known with Peter's brave but failed attempt to come to Jesus and meet him out on the waves, followed by Jesus' quick rebuke, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" But Mark is even less kind to the disciples and to his hearers. His account of Jesus' walk across the water is a more disturbing one, full of puzzling details that come to a gloomy end. After that hard work day of serving and cleaning up after 5,000 people, Jesus compels his disciples to get into their boat, Mark tells us, which means they push off from shore close to dark. Then the wind comes, so strong that the disciples row in place half the night out in the middle of the lake before Jesus comes to them, but not really to them, as it turns out. He means to pass them by. Did you catch that most un-Jesus-like line in the story? But they mistake him for a ghost and yell out loud with fright, and that gets his attention. So Jesus stops to reassure them, climbs into the boat with them, and the wind stops, just like that. For which they do not even say thank you, because they were too stunned. They know who he is, you see, but at the same time, they still do not know who he is. It was a dark and stormy night. Now, for me, as a would-be disciple, who finds himself in the same boat with other disciples facing the challenging tasks of work camp and life, this is not a satisfying story. I would have preferred a little more bravado in my disciples, or at least some assurance that they have learned their lesson. But according to Mark, they just did not get it. They did not recognize who was the one they had been waiting for. And apparently, this incident was not very satisfying for Mark either. The only explanation he could think of was that their hearts were hardened. Cardiosclerosis. Or perhaps hermeneutico-sclerosis. Hardening of the heart and closing of the mind. Everything in their hearts and minds so locked into place so that they did not understand the miracle of the loaves, or much of anything else for that matter. Maybe that explains why they were not glad to see Jesus. Never mind for the moment that he meant to pass them by. They did not know that, so why weren't they overjoyed to see him? Why didn't they welcome being rescued from the storm? Well, in the first place, it was not the storm they were afraid of. The rowing may have raised some blisters on their hands or stiffened some muscles in their backs, like many of the tasks at work camp. But they were not afraid of anything, as far as we can tell. According to Mark, they did not feel or say anything at all until they saw a figure approaching them across the water, on top of the water, at which point they cried out and were terrified. They were fine until they saw a ghost. It probably would have been fine with them to row all night. And if that is what it took to get where they are going, so be it. After all, they were not teachers or pastors or professionals behind desks. They were fishermen, blue-collar workers, people used to hard work. These are the Christopher Gillias, Chuck Carpenters, Harry Archers in the boat. Individuals who did not mind pitting themselves against the elements, gutting it out, doing whatever it takes to get the job done. Quite frankly, as far as disciples go, these are the people I would want in my boat when a storm comes up. They can be expected to produce. The storm was not the problem. Jesus was. And he continued to be the problem, even after he had come to them, identified himself, climbed down into the boat with them, and made that wave-raising, sail-lowering wind stop. When Jesus did that, his disciples were utterly astounded. Not by the waves, mind you, but by the calm. You have finished with a day of work camp, resting on a lodge or chalet porch when the funny stuff starts to happen. Your eyes begin to play tricks on you, and soon phantom Holden villages rise up before you. Magnificent or monstrous, as you see people breathing their hopes and dreams and goals, their lives and loves, their faith and service into this invisible thing. Then you start realizing, even though others are in the same boat, just how alone you are. How far you are from your comfort zone and sense of security. But you cannot think about that too long. So you think about getting a cup of coffee from the dining hall, or what exactly has to be done yet in order to accomplish your work camp project. In the words of Mark's gospel, you row and row and row. You stay busy, task-oriented. You stay focused on the far shore, your destination, and you dismiss everything that gets in your way. This is what Mark diagnoses as cardiosclerosis. The disciples' hearts were hardened. That part of them most capable of understanding, of encountering Christ, was clogged up so that very little could get through to them anymore. Their hearts were all but shut down, and they did not even know it. Maybe it was the stress. All that hard work, hammering and sawing away at the parables, anointing the sick, painting them with the oil of healing and wholeness, casting out demons, trying to provide a defensible space for living for vulnerable lives at risk, or trying to put something, anything, into all those damp, dirty hands that reached out to them for food, for clean sheets and towels, for health, for love. Or maybe it was their diet, eating on the run wherever their work carried them, moving from place to place, sandwich bar with friendly cheeses one day, vegan the next, a few dried fish. Or maybe it was God casting a shadow over their hearts for God's own inscrutable reasons. Whatever the reason, they had a heart condition. They were thrombotic and debilitated, and they used what they had left to survive as best they could, to try harder, to row and row and row. It was what they felt themselves called to do, and they were prepared to do it all night if necessary. What they were not prepared to do was to see their Lord hiking toward them across the Sea of Galilee, unsummoned, traveling in a most unorthodox manner. It did not fit their expectations, their job descriptions, their work team assignments. It could not be charted or weighed or measured, for it violated all their categories. Jesus could not have surprised them more if he had come to them as an ex-Dakota Norwegian farm boy who writes letters to mining companies, or a rhetorically shocking cigar-smoking preacher who, having survived a POW camp, thought he could survive an abandoned mining village, or the thousands of disturbing, drifting, discerning, daring, disoriented, disaffected, down-to-earth, disarming, dedicated people whose global positioning systems uncannily set a direction toward Holden Village. Intent on their duties and dutifully carrying out their intentions, these hard-working disciples mistook their Lord for a spook, for someone who meant to do them harm. But he did not hold that against them. Jesus may have intended to pass them by, but when in their fear they cried out, immediately he stopped to be with them. Take heart, he said, the one who had such a surplus of heart to offer them. Go on with good courage. I am. Stop being afraid. And they were utterly stunned into silence, for they did not understand about the wind or the loaves or anything. Their hearts were hardened. But he got into the boat with them anyway. Their hearts made it difficult for them to accept him, so he accepted them instead. After that, things got easier for a while. There was no more wind, no rowing, just smooth sailing, which gave them time to talk, to rub tired eyes, to stretch stiff muscles and backs, and to laugh, to see the gracious hilarity about what had been an unusual day all the way around. I do not know if their hearts got any softer then or ever. According to Mark, Jesus kept on berating them for their stubbornness, their dullness, their contentiousness, for having eyes that did not see and ears that did not hear. But none of that ever seemed to interrupt his love for them. They remained his called out and sent out ones, his workers, clogged hearts and all. And he remained their Lord, the one who kept climbing down in their boats to be with them over and over again from that day forth to the end of the age, with heart enough to spare, with heart, with good courage enough for us all. Amen.
Our closing song is number 276. Will you come and follow me? 276.
Come and follow me.
Go in peace to serve the living God.